Please rise for the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Let the Whole Creation Cry. Good morning, and welcome to worship. Please take notice of all the announcements in the bulletin. I think for this one time, I don't have anything else to add to the announcement. So if anybody else have any other announcements? Okay. Then we continue with the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you sent your Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe with joy what the scriptures proclaim, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is taken from Psalm 147, and we'll read it responsively. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor him with praise.
The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to his wisdom. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God upon the harp.
He covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth.
He makes grass to grow upon the mountains and green plants to serve mankind.
He provides food for flocks and herds, and the young ravens when they cry.
He is not impressed by the might of a horse. He has no pleasure in the strength of a man. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If I proclaim the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in the synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, I was living in a town, and once every 4 years, there was a business in that town that would have a wild game sale. They would sell animals of any types and any descriptions, and it was amazing to see the variety of animals they had. Actually, one day was just reserved for birds, and you might have seen ostriches and emus, parakeets, canaries, parrots, ducks, geese, all sorts of exotic animals or exotic birds. And then the other days then were geared towards the other animals. And there were animals, I think, from just about every continent in the world that were there at the show. It was also interesting, too, to see who was there at that sale. People came for different reasons. And it was interesting to walk along the highway because there wasn't a whole lot of parking out there. And to see all the license plates of where they're from. Most of them were from Texas, but then you'd see New Mexico or Colorado or Louisiana or Missouri sometimes. And sometimes they would get as far away as Wyoming or even Montana. And so people would come. They came for different reasons. Of course, some people came to sell animals. Other people came to buy animals. Sometimes there were just ranchers or people that were looking for the larger game for their hunting ranches. Or sometimes there were people there from the zoos looking to buy some more animals. Other people came just to come see. And I guess that was probably me. I had no reason to buy. I had nothing to sell. And had no place to put anything if I did buy it. So I just came to see, the sights, to what was going on. Other people came because of the excitement. This was the biggest thing going on in town during that time, and so they had to be a part of that excitement. In our gospel lesson today, we see a story where people gather. It's a continuation of the gospel that we read last week. Last week, if you remember, Jesus did his first act of ministry, public ministry, according to Mark's gospel, and that was to go into the synagogue, into worship, and he cast out a demon. So now it is Saturday afternoon, and it's still Sabbath. They go home, or they go to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's home, is where they head to. Just like after church on Sundays, many of you like to go out to eat, go find a nice meal, or maybe you all go to grandma's house and have something to eat. Well, pretty similar here then too. They all headed to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. But she was sick. She was not well. But Jesus took her by the hand, lifted her up, and she was made whole. Well, the Sabbath lasts from sundown on Friday evening to sundown on Saturday evening. And so when evening came then, people were able to move around once again. They were able to go out, and sure enough, they all crowded at that one house. They came to that one house to see Jesus. Now, I think there were a variety of people there, and they came for a lot of different reasons. One reason, I think, is maybe they were just Sunday drivers. I don't know if y'all ever just go for Sunday drives. When I was a child, Dad would pile us all up into the car and say, "All right, we're going to go for a Sunday drive." And sure enough, we'd just go tootling around town or to see the sights, see what was changing, see what was going on. Sometimes we went out to the country, and I remember one time we went out there and we found a nesting spot of egrets. And there were thousands, maybe tens of thousands of egrets in that small area, all up in the trees. That was one of their roosting grounds. And just to hear the clatter of birds, see the feathers everywhere, and all the white birds up in the trees looked like it had snowed. And you could also smell it, too. Another time, I know sometimes we'd go into the ritzy part of town and go see the big mansions and all the manicured lawns. And I always wondered as a child, who had money to buy something like this? Who would live in a place like this? Or another time then, too, I remember they were building the Southwest Freeway into Houston. And so it being Sunday, there was no construction crews out there. Dad went around the barricades, and up we go through the construction area all the way to the edge of where they were building the bridge over the Brazos River. And to see that huge gorge and trying to span a bridge over that area. And so we'd just go for a Sunday drive, no place in particular, just to go see the sights and what was going on. In our story for today, I think that maybe some of the people who were there were just Sunday drivers. Just out for a stroll after the Sabbath and get to stretch your legs a little bit, but they see all the things everybody's kind of gathered over in this one part of town, so they're curious. They want to see what's going on. I think in a lot of people are Sunday drivers today as far as church is concerned. It's getting more and more where kids are not raised in Christian families. And many of those kids have grown up, and they don't have an idea what church really is. You know, you hear bits and pieces. Maybe they have friends who are Christians. Or they see a lot of the negative press coverage that the church gets from time to time. And they just really don't know what church is. And so they're maybe just kind of curious, maybe asking a few questions of, what is church? Why do you believe? And as faithful members, are we prepared to answer those questions when they ask? What do we tell people who are Sunday drivers with respect to church that are just curious or just kind of want to see what it is? Are you prepared to tell your story? Of what church means to you, of what faith means to you, of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, of how God guides your life from day to day and what God provides for you. To be able to tell your own story then to folks who may be Sunday drivers, just kind of curious. Like I said, there's a lot of people who have no clue what the church is about, but they're kind of wondering, what is the fascination with all the people that brings them here each and every week to church and dedicate so much of their lives to the work and the service of God? Another group of people who were there in our story today, I would suspect, would be what you might call the thrill seekers. Everybody likes a good thrill every once in a while, or most people like a good thrill. I think that's why we go to amusement parks. Or maybe to a show, or maybe to a concert of some sort, or I know people like horror movies just to be scared. We like a thrill every once in a while, something to lift us up out of the everyday monotonous doldrums that happen. Just to change. Some people like to go away for vacation. Some people really like to travel. Maybe here in Texas or the United States or maybe even across the world to see something different. I think there were thrill seekers there that were there at the house, Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house on that day that Jesus was healing. They heard the commotion. They heard that something was going on, that the whole town was gathered there. And so they had to go see. They had to be a part of that. They had to get that emotional rush of actually seeing demons being cast out or somebody who had been ill and had not been able to be cured. All of a sudden, they were healed and made better. And I'm sure that when each of these healings took place, people were in awe. Maybe they were shouting praises to God. And I'm sure the emotions were high. Emotions of giving thanks or of giving praise or just awe or maybe there were emotions of even being scared of what kind of power is this that's coming out of Jesus.
I think maybe there were thrill seekers there in this crowd. There's also people who are thrill seekers now in relation to the church. They want excitement. They want that emotional high, that pick-me-up, that lift-up. I know a lot of churches do cater to this kind of thing, and they try to put out a very good production for a worship service, maybe with praise bands, maybe with excellent singers, with a preacher that gets riled up really well. They want that excitement in worship, that thrill in worship. We don't necessarily do things that way, though. What we're more into is experiencing the fullness, the joy, and finding a thrill in that, of knowing what God has done for us, knowing that God can lift us up, that God can heal us and does heal us. He makes us well. He makes us whole. He fills us with depth to be able to follow God in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. And in a sense, there is a thrill in that. There is a fulfillment in that. Some of the others who were there, I think, maybe at that house, were maybe skeptical people. We know what it's like to be skeptical, especially after this past year of politics, of racial relations, of fake news, of hearing conflicting reports, of fighting coronavirus, of whether or not it's how serious it is or if it's not serious at all. We hear news coming, bouncing stories, everything else bouncing each and every way, and we don't know what to believe. And so I think there's probably, if you got a little skepticism, that may be healthy in trying to decide what is true and what is not true. There were people there in that house, in that crowd, in Jesus' day, that maybe also came because they were skeptical. They heard the commotion out in the street or around the house. They had to go check it out. People were telling them that Jesus was healing people, he was curing diseases, and he was casting out demons. What? Who can do that? I've never seen it happen before. I don't believe it can be true. How can somebody cast out a demon? I don't even believe in demons. How can somebody cast one out if I don't believe in them? They too had to come and see what was going on. They had to see for themselves. There's a number of stories in the Bible where people are skeptical. We read one just a few weeks ago when Jesus calls Andrew to be his disciple. Andrew goes to his friend Nathanael and says, "Come and see." Nathanael says, "What good ever came out of Nazareth?" And Andrew says, "Come and see." Or the story of Thomas on that day of resurrection in the evening, when the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas says, "I won't believe that he is risen from the dead until I touch the wounds of Jesus Christ or see him." People were skeptical. People today are skeptical of the church. How can that be true? Isn't that just a bunch of fairy tales? Isn't it just an ancient way of from the past people of explaining things that can be explained much better with science? How can you believe in something that you cannot prove? We can't prove that God exists, but yet we still know that God does exist because that Holy Spirit has brought faith into our lives. But people are skeptical. Maybe they've been hurt by other people. Maybe they've been hurt by Christians from time to time. We don't always agree with each other. We look at things differently. We come from different backgrounds, from different experiences. Maybe some people got hurt, and so they are skeptical. Church talks about love and mercy and all these things, but maybe they didn't quite have that experience, and so they are skeptical to come back. Maybe they're skeptical of the whole idea of a God. We too as a church, though, need to deal with that. To be able to, how do you handle that? Do you argue with them? I don't think that's very effective. You just simply become welcoming. You invite them in, and you simply say to them, come and see. Come and be a part. Come and be involved. Come as God is calling you to come. And then, too, there were people at Simon, mother-in-law's house who came because they were sick. They came because they needed healing. They came because they had demons chasing around in their lives. They came to see Jesus to be healed. Many people are hurting today, not only with disease or the coronavirus, but other diseases as well then too. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's emotional. But many times it is spiritual. We need healing. We started our worship service asking God for healing. We said, we are in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves. We are sick. We cannot free ourselves. We cannot make ourselves better. We need help. We need that help from Christ. And so we too come to worship in need of healing, in need of a Savior, in need of being made whole and well and righteous once again. It's interesting in the story, Jesus didn't turn anybody away from that door. Anybody who came was welcome to be there. And Jesus cured the sick and he cast out the demons of all those who had asked. The whole town had come. They had come to see, to hear, to experience, and to be made well. We too come into worship for all of these things too. To see and to be rejuvenated and to have some answers to our questions. And then too, simply to be healed and to be made well. Christ is our Savior and he calls us home. Amen. May the peace of God which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of You. Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. With gratitude for the gift of Christ, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking His mercy for the Church, the world, and all who need His loving kindness. Renew and strengthen your Church. Give understanding to its words, so that hearts are touched by the gospel of salvation. Make it swift to speak and enact forgiveness and mercy in your name. Make it tireless in bearing witness to you. Conform it to your will. Use it to draw all people to yourself, Lord, in your mercy. Renew and strengthen all who suffer for the sake of Jesus. Help them to constantly trust in His love. Help us who do not experience such suffering to pray for them, defend them, provide for them as we are able, and to live in a way that glorifies you and honors their witness. Lord, in your mercy. Renew and strengthen this congregation. Give us confidence to willingly wait upon you for guidance and to gladly obey what you command. Use us to encourage our families, friends, and neighbors, especially those who are most in need to know your love. Lord, in your mercy. Renew and strengthen your servants who are nearing the age of retirement. Fill them with your Spirit, so that they may continue to walk tirelessly in the way of faithfulness and service which you set before them. Lord, in your mercy. Renew and strengthen all who work to bring justice, safety, and healing in these troubled times. Grant them courage and integrity, and use their labors to accomplish your will. Shield them and their loved ones from harm. Lord, in your mercy. Renew and strengthen all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray especially for Lily Mae Metting, Joyce Lumprick, Ray Lang Jr., Christy Lee Nunez and family, Nicholas Riccio, Brittany Wisey, Glenwood Wilms, Karen Hoffman, Lois Kelch, and the families of Janelle Fleschner and Lana Potzel. Lord, in your mercy. Most blessed and glorious Lord, thank you for the great and final healing you bestow upon all who died clinging to your promises. Grant us joy in sorrow, patience in suffering, courage in danger, wisdom in choosing, compassion and mercy in service. Bestow on us the joy of being welcomed with all whom you have healed from sin and death into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers and petitions, dear Father, as may be best for us and to your greater glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
come, for all is ready. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you
and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, On Our Way Rejoicing. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.